One, two, three, four.
Welcome to the Steampunk Family Podcast. This installment of the voyage to Antarctica is The Yeti and the Comb, in which we find out what they have in their pockets. The twins studied the contents of their pockets. They had, together, two observation books, three pencil stub, some bits of string in a tangle, a stub of chalk, two etched brass decoder rings, two compasses, four springs, a small hammer, six cut nails, two handkerchiefs, a cricket cage without cricket, seven small spanners in varying sizes, a napkin full of cookies, an apple, two whistles, a screwdriver, 6 ounces or so of copper scraps, a small flask of the Boiler Chief's special distilled engine cleaner, tweezers, and a tin box full of cheeses. They pawed through the pile without enthusiasm. Mirabelle nudged her brother. "Do you have a comb?" He looked at her as though she might be wearing a straitjacket, but pulled a comb out of his pocket and handed it to her. She slowly approached the beast, making soft, soothing sh-sh-sh noises, such as she believed lion tamers used in the circus. She stood directly before it, but still the Yeti did not move. She raised her hand and touched the creature's leg with the comb. Annabelle was some feet behind her, positioned where the Yeti's body would block the Count's view of her. She picked up the boiler crew's heaviest spanner and stood alert, covering her twin. Mirabelle combed the Yeti. It did not move. Mirabelle reached the comb as high as she could, standing on her tiptoes, and combed the Yeti again. It did not move.
"Are you insane?" Gerhardt hissed. "Even if it doesn't rip you apart, you can't reach its head."
"You're right," she answered. "Let me stand on your shoulders." Her brother goggled, turning a bit purple.
"And don't make any sudden moves if you don't want to get ripped apart." "We don't even know what will happen."
"There's only one way to find out," Annabelle whispered. "I can try beaning him with this spanner, but I don't think it'll do more than distract him."
"That doesn't make me feel any better," Gerhardt asserted.
"Bettina, go up," said the youngest von Hedwig.
"There you go, faint heart," Mirabelle said. "The baby's not as scared as you are. Either she doesn't know any better, or she's as crazy as you."
Nevertheless, he helped his sister onto his shoulders. He took a stumbling step toward the beast, and they wavered, Mirabelle's arms windmilling. The creature growled. Gerhardt bent his knees, sinking into a steady stance, and Mirabelle regained her balance. She made the soothing noise again, holding up the comb for the Yeti's inspection. Gerhardt slid a foot forward, advancing with the greatest care. Mirabelle found herself face to face with the Yeti. She hoped the Count was not looking, but she could not spare a glance to find out. The Yeti did not meet her gaze, although she was inches from him, or her. Its face had brown, leathery skin, with long, red-brown hair sprouting all around it, but not on it. The eyes that would not meet hers were deep brown, almond-shaped, and heavily lidded. Its nose had prominent nostrils, and with its mouth protruded in a short snout. She held her breath and slowly reached out with Gerhardt's comb.
"There, there, bear monkey man, let me help you with that nasty moss."
She breathed the words out and touched the Yeti's shoulder with the comb. It didn't react, so she moved up to its neck. This close, she could distinguish the moss from the fur, even though their coloration was the same. The comb caught at the moss, and Mirabelle pulled gently. Claire was so absorbed in her invention that she did not spare a glance for the risky business unfolding not 5 feet away. She had found a broken chair leg to be an adequate lever, and had pounced on her sister's tangle of string. Using a bag of ball bearings as a counterweight and lashing the lever to a fulcrum point made up from a camshaft and the back of a broken chair, she fashioned a small trebuchet.
Madly calculating angles and trajectories, she had loaded the device with the biggest chunk of metal she could find and aimed it at the Yeti's head, only to find Mirabelle's head there instead. This is Hera von Hedwig. This episode of the Steampunk Family's Voyage to Antarctica is brought to you by the Boiler Monkeys Union, who reminds you to watch out for waterfowl. A goose in the pot is dinner, but a goose in the engine pod is bad news. Remember...